was kind of light a little bit, had long hair, and she thought she was white, and she stuck with him, and he'll call us, maybe talking about community and all this, and she said, you get me again, go on over there and all this stuff. And I was proud, that some people did call me nigga, but it's the way they say it, like, he said it nasty, like that. But at the school, we used to kind of say, hey, nigga, come here, like that, like a slang, like thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then he was saying...
He was using it as a racial put down, right?
Yeah.
Of course.
And everybody didn't like him. And every time we turned around, he was getting jumped on and stuff like that. And so, but he still didn't get across to him. And so what he did one time was, this little girl, she was in kindergarten, she asked him that, it was some little white boy had took the ball from her and stuff, and
mm-hmm.
he would give it back, and he punched her in the stomach, and she went and told him, and he said he don't have nothing to do with a bunch of niggas, he said, for her to get out of his face. And so we had heard her, and at the time, we didn't know it was this dude named Leroy, he was in our gang too, we didn't know that was his sister until she went and told him. So we went over there and jumped on him, and we stabbed him on his arm and stuff.
Who's it, the principal?
We stabbed him on his arm with a some kind of, it was a knife shot shaped like, they call them hospital knives, but it's got a curve to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they stabbed him, cut his arm almost open and stuff. And so then, and he was in the hospital, he had to get 42 stitches in that one place. And then somebody else had shot him in the foot or something like that. And so I went over there and beat him 3 times with the chain on his neck and stuff. So then he was in the hospital for about 3 weeks. And then when he came, and so it was this Chinese lady took his place, and she was sick.
Mm-hmm.
And she was calling us, different names and stuff. And she knew karate and stuff. And when somebody talked back to her, she'd try to do some karate or something like that. And that's the only way she got us away from and stuff. And she could, but she was real, real sharp and stuff. And then the principal came back, and we had this midget little boy at our school, and his name was Freddie. And he used to talk about him and stuff, talking about he was too short to even do nothing and all this stuff, and he wasn't no good and stuff. And he already had a complex about how short he was. He used to make fun of him all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But it was rough, though, at that school. But only time you have fun was when we had parties, but most of the time the parties get broke up by different gangs and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
They come and, destroy them and stuff. I never did take no needle stuff,
mm-hmm.
whatever, I forgot what you call it. And all I took was just herb pills or medicine pills and stuff, and different other kinds of pills like Red Devils and stuff like that. But I never did get addicted to it. But at that time, it was just the bad, all young people were going around, taking dope and weed and stuff. And I thought it was, I thought it was it, and I thought it was cool that I was doing stuff like that. But, I used to get sick, and she thought it was something else, but, I used to get sick because I was, taking dope and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, well, it seemed like, it was a good experience that I went through it, but, I wouldn't want to go back to it or nothing like that. But, to me, I think I feel better here anyway. Because then I won't have to worry about, walking down the street and somebody calling me something about my name or worrying about my head getting blown off or something like that.
Did you ever get any violence done to you when you were there? Did you ever get beat up?
Not really, because I always have somebody to help, help protect me. So.
That's why you joined the gang,
mm-hmm.
keep yourself from getting
mm-hmm.
hurt.
Yeah, because at first I remember I used to get in a fight every week. But I never did what you call lose a fight, but I got, I fought, and I probably get a black eye, but, I never did what you call lose it, but not even all that, what you call win it neither, but, I could say I did get a couple of blows or whatever,
mm-hmm.
but, they never did hardly get me too bad, because, somebody else was always there, either my brother, my cousin, or something like that, or, some of the people I used to hang around with. Okay, at first, when I first got pregnant, I wanted the abortion because I didn't really even want it, But, then after a while, I said, forget it, it's too late anyway, I shouldn't have did it, and stuff like that, and then I started wanting the baby and stuff like that. than when it was born. I have seen the umbilical cord tied around his neck, which, you know, kind of frightened me and stuff. And then I said, well, it's already dead like that. And then, like he was crying, and then the cord tightened around his neck. And so then he stopped crying. I had thought that he was dead, and, you know, it was, you know, I could just forget about it. And then all of a sudden, Larry had took the thing off around his neck, and he started back to crying. Then I figured that, you know, I knew, rather, it was Dad that had saved it. Okay, then when he got born, all right, I mean, you know, when he got older, stuff, he played a lot, and, you know, he just, you know, real sweet stuff. Okay, and, like, at first, I didn't, when I was pregnant at the time, I didn't want James around me and stuff like that. I didn't want to be bothered with him and stuff. It's okay, you know, he'll come and get the baby and whatever. And I say hi, you know, whatever. But at first I didn't want nothing to do with him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I don't know, I just was in a grouchy mood, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And work that I be doing now is, at first I wasn't doing nothing because I had to, you know, babysit the baby and stuff. But now I'm supposed to be working with the, in the sewing room, help making baby clothes and different things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Since I've been here, I started off on a banana crew for a while, and then I went to cassava, and then I went to the wood making toys and stuff, and then I jumped from there to the mending room over there. And I'm working in Washington.
Where do you think you're going to wind up?
I don't know. See, I talked to Joyce about working on heavy equipment. She said I have to wait until he's about, I think, 4 months old. And she said she'll talk to me again about it. And I said, so that's probably be the last place I'll end up on heavy equipment.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what do you think of Johnstown?
Well, me myself, I like it because I don't have to worry about no smog, air, and stuff like that because the air is fresh and it's just peaceful. No ambulance ringing in your ear or no trains and stuff like that. You know, nerve wracking and stuff. And at first, I wanted to I wanted to watch TV when I first got here, but then I figured. Like, all it's going to do is just remind me of the States and stuff, because, like, all it is violence and stuff all on TV and stuff. And so, therefore, I just said forget, because we don't really even need no TV.
You find that you can do without the things that you need to deal with in the States?
Yeah, a lot. And, like, some of this music that we be listening to and stuff, if you really pay attention to it, all it's really talking about is love, some kind of love or romance or something like that about somebody's wife or husband or me, who's loving who and stuff like that. That's really all it got to do with and stuff. And so really the music is, you know, the same as the TV. You know, it ain't no good and stuff like that. And like, and plus you learn a lot anyway over here. Like, ever since Dad be giving tests and stuff on social, Marcus Lennon, it seems like I've been learning a lot more than where I was in the States and stuff. Because, like, I didn't hardly know. I knew a lot about social media, but I didn't know as much as I did now and stuff like that. So I had to get adjusted. Okay, like, when I first came, I'm going to tell you the truth. I didn't really like it because, see, I was used to going to the store, getting candy and different stuff like that, going to the movies and stuff like that. But then after I was here for about, I say, 3 weeks, I started saying, hey, this is okay. You know, I don't have to worry about having a little money and getting my money stolen and stuff like that. Because I got all I need right here and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I got, you know, health food and no food with chemicals and stuff in it and stuff like that. And I know I'm getting the best of care. So, you know, I don't really need nothing else. And like, as far as the movies, all it was, you know, the same old things really with violence or something like that in it. And so I said, you know, I think this is better anyway. And the movies that we see here, I don't have to pay for them because, you know, Dad is paying for that. And, you know, and they be the best movies anyway. So, you know, I just got the best, you know, that I really deserve, really.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
the spotlight. When Dad was talking about to put in $20 for a tree, the first thing I got here, what I really was looking for was the tree that I had put in $20 for. Mm. And I couldn't find it no place. So I said, oh, wow, he tricked me like that. Yeah. I said, oh, well. And then a while later, they start growing different trees and stuff. I said, well, hell, here it is right here and stuff like that. Mm. But I knew, I was looking for my name on some tree or something when I first had got here. Mm-hmm.
We own them all anyway, so it's all one thing anyway. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. A few times we try to get it to be with him, you know, like, at the time, enjoy, you know, because he's my dad, you know, but there's nobody, you know, who's there, so he's so aware of him, you know, it really didn't help me.
So you just can be at home and you're bored and
yeah.
Play the
school. I'd stay at school and then do many times where I'd come home real late, you know. And get spanked or whatever, you know, because I was that late, and my mom didn't know where I was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
I like
having a lot of insecurities back then, too, you know, about dying or whatever, you know, like, you know, it's real, you know, I mean, I was really, really scared to speak up, like, you know, at one time, you know, I wasn't thinking, you know, we were playing with some kind of making some mold out of something or other, you know, and I got this spoon of something in my mouth, and somebody said it was poisonous or something, and then, you know, and I immediately, I realized what I had done, I thought I was going to die, you know, so, first out trying, I was too scared to tell me what I did, you know, to keep it from mind. And like I said, it's a really quiet person, you know, scared to say anything.
Well, what was it you afraid of?
Scared of saying the wrong thing, that people criticizing me. Or, you know,
did you say anything on you with any of your parents today? Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it was. My mom was very dominant in many respects. You know. Mm-hmm. I mean, freedom of expression really wasn't allowed.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, you got to this point where, you know, I knew the word felt like, you know, I felt very comfortable with certain feelings, you know,
mm-hmm.
very repressed,
yeah.
Very, very repressed, you hold back, and I feel very repressed.
What were your feelings that you didn't want to express?
Emotions.
What emotions were you didn't want to express? Were you afraid that something would happen to express your emotions?
Yeah, I mean, like, or just love, compassion, anything like that, you know, anything that most people crave, you know, those are most people, natural emotions that people have, I'd be afraid to express, first of all, they were never expressed to me very, very well,
yeah.
And second, I was afraid of what the consequence might be if I did.
Like what?
Well,
what were these emotions that were so difficult to express?
Well, my mom was a fair amount, I guess, to hear, but my dad...
Were you resentful of your dad connecting you?
Definitely.
I think he rejected you or something?
Yes. I remember one time, for instance, we were, he and my mom were going out, so I haven't seen him for a long time, you know. And, you know, it's kind of a thing, you know, I really didn't expect him to be around much. As far as my mom was concerned, you know, at least I had some companionship with her or whatever, you know. At least I got something out of being with her. But that one particular night, I just needed somebody to be with, you know. And she was insisting on going out, you know. And
mm-hmm.
I really felt bad about that. So I just was back on the couch. I didn't say nothing to anybody and walked out. She told me later that she felt bad about that particular incident, you know. She lived in the only way.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, was a pretty close friend, despite the fact that he used me a lot, you know. You know, he was the only friend I had. So
what was your name?
David O'Hara.
Well, what town was it in?
This is still my last.
Seattle?
Yeah, no, this was my last.
Stockholm,
yeah. And, you know, like, we usually go on little trips and then games, you know. But, like, I went along with him because I had nobody else to.
You just endure it because you needed a friend and you can be a friend.
Yeah.
Was he older than you or bigger than you?
He was about the same size. Yeah. I mean, you know, but he plays the fucked up games with me. But he's
How old were you about?
About, let's see, I was in, this is anywhere from third grade to third and fourth grade.
No, I couldn't be a problem.
I mean, he came from a broken background himself. Like, his dad was living with his mom and mom. He was going through a lot of shit himself. Yeah. And in some ways, we had a lot of common.
But he used to.
Yeah. But, you know.
You're susceptible to being used because you're looking for someone to trust.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, like, I remember the other kids conned me very easily. I was not worldly wise much, but in many respects, I was easy to fall prey to whatever they want. I remember, like, one time I caught a lizard, you know, some kid traded me some, he said it was a quarter, but it was like it was a coin from a foreign country, which is absolutely useless in the United States. Sometimes I need to be able to trade it in. It's been hours taking one particular lizard. He managed to swing a lot of me if he was ready. Anyway, he wasn't showing me the kind of tension I
did. He was using you, in other words, your dad was, he just really was using you to get some kind of job done, and all along you thought it was because he cared about you. When did you wake up to this? When did you realize this happened?
Well, I finally really began to wake up to this when my mom and dad divorced and split up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, he came around. He really didn't come around at all at that time, you know? That was when I began to wake up to the whole matter. Of course, up to that point, you know, like the deterioration of the family started getting worse and worse, you know. Like, for a while there, after, you know, like I had some good times, things then, you know. But at home, things were beginning to get worse and worse. I had big fights, you know, and really big fights.
What are those fights? How do they affect you? When you saw your parents fighting like they did, probably screaming and shouting and
whatever. I was really scared at the time, you know. I didn't know what to do. You know? I was worried that something might get hurt. Particularly my mom.
There was physical violence involved?
Very much so. Well, my mom was one that would be, she was really upset. She was throwing things, you know, throwing plates and shit, you know. I had a little pleasure in it, you know, when my dad got hit one time with a goddamn pot. You hear about these stories, but they're true. You know, he got hit in the fucking head with a pot, you know, and he was broken. Just one day, I tell you, one story. One night when they had a terrific fight, I mean, like every fucking dish in the whole house was busted. I mean, anything that could be broken was broken. I mean, he came in, you know, and she was going through a fit, you know, and that was it. She grabbed some shit, threw it in her head.
What do you mean, she was going through a fit before she came home or something?
Yeah, even before he came home, she was so totally upset by him, you know, what she'd done.
She just started spontaneously acting out?
Yeah. During that time, she was also drinking a lot. She'd become an alcoholic. And so her whole room was full of empty gallon, what do you call it, bottles of bubble wine, you know. And so she grabbed pots and everything, just threw them, kitchen knives, anything you want, just like that, she threw them. So we cowered in the living room, afraid that she might try something on us too, you know, that's how she was up to. And then he walked in, you know, and Amazing, all her frustrations, you know, everything was directed at him. The dishes, everything was pulled out of the cabinet. There's a huge bookcase. She's pulling the books down off the bookcase and throwing them around. You know, it took hours, literally hours and hours to clean up after it was done. You know, the breakage was tremendous. Finally, though, he managed to get her calmed down. And I went to bed, which confused me. A whole lot. I was wondering why the hell she was so mad at me. You know, I mean, I went to bed after that. Couldn't understand.
How old were you this time?
About, I was about 7th grade.
What did your dad do? What was his profession?
He was like college, I think.
Mm-hmm. And he was running around with a young girl who was on dope,
yeah,
and using her,
yeah,
just for his own pleasure.
Yeah.
What did you think of him when you saw this? Have you pretty much, you know, given up on him, or was it?
Well, at that time, I don't know if I'd completely given up on him, you know, but I didn't quite know what to make of her, you know. I mean, I was still pretty young, but I felt that I knew she was being used, you know, and I didn't know how. And I said, you know, I knew she was being used, you know, but you know, I didn't really think it was too great at that time. And then
he's going to take you to Japan to get you acquainted with sex. This is what he told you after you got divorced.
Yeah. And, you know, because he was too afraid himself to, you know, to explain it. I mean, one day he was trying to explain sex to me, and it was so hard to get it out of his mouth. He didn't quite know what to say, you know.
From the psychologist?
Yeah.
He could not explain the facts of life to his own son.
He couldn't understand. Matter of fact, I've been messed up with that for a long time. I've been very repressed because I had no, you know, I had no idea, you know, about sex. You know, as you were a lot younger, the only idea I had about sex was what I saw between the dogs and the cats.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what it, you know, either you stuck your dick in the goddamn ass, or you stuck like a dog, or stuck it in the pussy. And I didn't know what it was. You know?
So this made you more resentful against your parents for not leading you or helping you to understand this, or what?
Yeah, it really did. Like, you didn't explain things to me. I remember, like, I had wet dreams, you know. And he was telling me about how cum was white, you know. And when I woke up in the morning, you know, it was dry, the way it was clear, you know. And I told him that. And he didn't say nothing about it. And I was just like, wow, what does that mean? Am I sterile? Or, you know, because it's not, you know, he didn't respond to it at all. Like, he was probably explaining it away. And he was worried about that for a long time, too. And, matter of fact, it wasn't until I came to, the people simple that the those things were resolved, you know, that I really had any answers to, you know.
Mm-hmm. What other things were not resolved in your life that were confusing and you didn't know what to do with them that you couldn't think of? I know that I remember talking to you sometimes and
people simple, you know, things have really changed. Like I felt a lot more comfortable about myself. Being a part of just a group of people, you know, with a common goal in mind, you know, because I just feel more comfortable, you know, people accept me as I am, and as time goes on, I feel more and more comfortable about myself, so I can express myself.
What did you think you were going to do with your life? What are you going to be when you grow up, that type of thing?
Well, I was very much in sports for a while. For a while, I still had my illusions on my dad. I was thinking about becoming a psychologist. But then I discarded that. I had delusions of becoming some kind of a track star because I was deep into sports, because that was the only way I could put out my energy, even though I really wasn't. I was good into the long jump. I was probably one of the best in the school, but I wasn't, as far as running was concerned, I wasn't hot, you know. So I had illusions about that, you know. I was encouraged by my parents in that direction. But,
my question is,
I had those illusions, but they, you know, after I came to the church, I realized that was really kind of out of a question, you know. You know, I thought about becoming a lawyer. But I had this, this idea, you know, that, comes from a middle class background, that you had to go to college and do something, you know. Despite the fact that, you know, that Jim Jones was saying another thing, you know, and another thing that that's not necessary, you can become, you know, you can be accepted here no matter what you are. You just like to get your hands dirty. Anyway, I didn't have time. You know, time went on, I became more and more aware of where I was at. You know, like I started out to become a lawyer, you know. And I mean, I guess I was a lawyer. Yeah, I did. And I kind of got disillusioned because my grades went up. Like it could be to get into law school.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about other things, you know, things about becoming a dentist for a while. So I gave that up too. And you know, they had me even higher than they were, and I wasn't that particularly hot in science, even though I liked it. I guess it could be a good grade. And so I gave that up. I finally went my four years and I was accepted to law school. You know, it was a small law school, San Francisco law school. But I considered, when I weighed the odds about the fact that the church at this time was supporting me from the school, and in fact, I wasn't getting any money from my parents that now. They completely, my dad by that time, completely given up on trying to convert me back to him, you know, like that. He didn't want to give me any money. He was too much involved in himself. And his new wife by the time in the building. He was another reaction. I worked there for a summer and I really enjoyed doing what I was doing. You know, I thought, well, this seems to be a good
mechanic place. Or electrician or what?
At that time I was working as a mechanic. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought, well, that's, you know, something different. I always really wanted to be a mechanic, you know, but I was afraid to try to challenge because I was told that that was my station in life, you might say. That I was
you're supposed to get some kind
better.
Of a little better job.
Right.
And you wanted to think you thought of being a mechanic for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess you know before when you're passionate. I'm trying to find, you know, kind of like explore some of the conflicts in your that were going on in your life. We've gotten through some of them, you know, insecurity and desire to do something and you think you weren't sure was right and not being sure about yourself and that sort of thing. Anything, if you want to elaborate on any of that, what happened like when you did begin to find yourself? Any changes that kind of like come across in your life?
I was afraid to be involved with any woman at all.
Why?
Because I was afraid I wouldn't be able to produce. You know, you'll get an erection or whatever the hell.
You were very insecure about that. So you kind of, even though you had urges, sexual urges, you didn't know what, you didn't have enough self-confidence to express them, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's really true. And as a matter of fact, I didn't even learn how to masturbate until after I got in college.
Mm-hmm. You didn't know what to do.
Yeah. I didn't know what masturbation was. Like, I heard a lot about it, but I didn't, you know, I was never aware what to do.
You know. thought to approach anybody about this and ask for that event?
No, I was afraid to approach you. By the time I learned it, it might be something else. Well, to tell you the truth, I was so unaware, you might say, that it never occurred to me until I got to college that actually, you know, masturbating was something more than where I'd actually got into. You know, I never questioned that I needed to ask because I never thought, you know, that...
Was there anything more to it than what you were doing?
Yeah.
What were you doing? You were having wet dreams? And,
yeah, I was having wet dreams. Or, you know, I was in trouble. I remember I was never really involved in it.
Mm-hmm. You just didn't know?
I beat up. Okay. Yeah, mm-hmm. I did.
And you just didn't feel confident talking about it, mm-hmm. personal problems either?
No, not at all. Very reluctant to talk about anything like that.
When did this change?
As I said, it changed when I came to be successful. I like it. My family was very honest.
Well, why don't you
just... on the table, I say, well,
you can say whatever you want.
Yeah, Dad was very honest about that and whatever. And that's all. You know, it's like I was showing you, like, alleviated all my insecurity, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Especially as time went on, every one of my questions was answered, and I didn't have to ask anybody because they were answered by him, you know. Mm-hmm. I could joke or whatever it was, you know. And I never felt being put down or anything by what he had to say because he never that type of person to put people down, you know. So I was looking for it, you know, expecting it.